vez to come up with proposals, ideas that will take us forward to this meeting. We suspended the proceedings of the meeting last night at a specific point, but before I want to get to that, I just want to find out if there are any apologies for today. Are there any apologies? Yes, Honourable Member.
Honourable Self will be delayed. He should be later, so it's going to be late, but he'll be late.
Honourable Self will arrive later. Any other apologies? No further apologies?
Okay. Yes. Any chairperson, the president of the Economic Freedom Fighters is on his way.
Honourable Malema is on his way.
Thank you.
Are there any further apologies? No more further apologies. We are proceeding, Honourable Members, with the agenda item that was on the table yesterday. And it deals with the consideration of reports. Are there any other items that you wish to deal with beyond the consideration of reports in this meeting today? None? We'll proceed then where we left off last night. And we were at a point when there were two different views that emerged, and there was a request for the meeting proceedings to be suspended so that parties this morning can reconvene. And Honourable Members, we are really not going to go back into all the discussions that took place. And really what we want is that when all interventions are made, it is really made to the point in terms of the proposals that are being put on the table. I will unfortunately not simply say that just put the proposals again and let's decide. What you can do is, just for the sake of the records and also for the meeting, is that the two proposals that were put on the table, one from the side of the opposition and the other one from the ANC, I will request one of the sponsors of the one proposal just to repeat that, the ANC to respond to it, and then we will move forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think where we finished last night, we finished at a point where we asked the question about the supremacy, first and foremost, of the Public Protector's Report as guaranteed as a Chapter 9 institution that is tasked with the job of responding to Parliament, not to the Executive, to Parliament. Therefore, what we've got to establish today is that we have a Public Protector's Report that clearly outlines the fact that there are remedial actions and argues that point at length yesterday to say these are not recommendations, and members have agreed in principle that we're not here to adjust to do anything. We are here to make sure that those remedial actions are taken on board. So our proposal is that if you note the first, which is to say the Public Protector's Report must be held in high regard, that the Public Protector itself has made the remedial action, we must agree that remedial action must be taken. The second of the proposal says, on all the reports, the Public Protector's Report, the SIU report, there are missing questions from the President. The President was tasked and asked a number of questions, and both reports say the same thing. The President did not reply or did not reply adequately. In the Public Protector's Report, it's clear that the President must have come to respond here in the House within 14 days, to which the President has failed to do. In the FIU report, a similar sentiment is put forward. Our view, simply at this point, is that A, we must put the Public Protector forward and defend that right. Secondly, we must request that President Jacob Zuma and others, Advocate Vassoni, the ministries that were involved, must come and appear before the committee. If we achieve those, our view is that it will A, uphold the Constitution, it will protect the Public Protector, it will exercise the job which Section 55 of the Constitution gives to Parliament, which is to hold the Executive to account, and those for us are about saying, let South Africa know once for all what happened from the one person who knows, as we agreed yesterday, that the President knew about the project, he understood where it was going, he exercised it, and therefore if it is him who knows everything, he must come before Parliament as a member of the Executive Board. So that's our proposal, is that those two action points must be agreed upon in order for us to proceed, so as to ensure that we are upholders
of the Constitution and not eat us to the executives. We are going to have to hold those 2 points in order. That's our proposal, Shepherd.
Before I give the ANC an opportunity, I just want to inform the meeting that I've received a letter from the Honourable Singh of the IFP indicating that he's nominated the appointment of Mr. Swart, the Honourable Swart, as an alternate member. This is the type of communication that should go to the Secretary to the National Assembly so that it can be placed on the order paper. You know, there is an agreement and arrangement as to how the smaller parties nominate members to be there. Unfortunately, I'm not in a position to deal with this matter, and I would request the Honourable Member to send it through to the Secretary of the National Assembly, who will send it then to the Speaker and have it published in the ATC.
Thanks.
That's just information.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. We don't have a problem today, but in due course, that will be done.
Okay. And I'll give an opportunity to the ANC.
Thank you, Chairperson. As the ANC on this matter, we are saying that we still maintain and saying that our role as parliamentarian is to consider all the reports that are before us as a committee. Two, and the response of the president. Three, we are not reviewing any report. Four, we are not opening any investigation. Five, as a committee, we are expected at the end of our deliberations to make our recommendations, which might go beyond the recommendations that are in this report. So that is our take as the ANC Chair.
Okay, those are two clear positions that are now on the table. I will ask firstly for in fact both of them was seconded last night already. Right. I will ask that in terms of the proposal from the Honourable Maimane, just for our own purposes again, that we get a seconder for that proposal. Honourable Moda. Yes?
Yes, I'm seconding that proposal.
Okay. Seconded. And the proposal from the Deputy Chief Whip is seconded by the Honourable Noble. I will thus put the first...
Chairperson, when we adjourned last night, the appeal was to adjourn so that we can reconsider and get some facts on the table before we take this further, because it has huge constitutional implications. We set aside this whole day, if need be, for the deliberations of this committee. If, Honourable Chairperson, you want to proceed now and bring this just to a vote, we defeat what we said last night, that we would like to argue, and in the beginning of this meeting, you also indicated that you don't want to reopen everything. If we motivate or argue, whatever the case may be, it must be with regard to the different proposals. So my request would be that before you take us to any vote, you allow us to interact with one another in terms of specific proposals.
Honourable Malema.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I think that we must try and persuade one another, because if we are going to rush into voting and lose our own majority to us to push through unconstitutional things, the possibility is that we are going to collapse this committee, because we are likely to remain alone in this committee. And I don't think there will be some other committee constituted only by the ruling party and still enjoy the status of an ad hoc committee. That's serious implications, Chair. It's not just voting and then resolving whether there are people who are going to be called here or not. I think the rules allow that. We should all ask ourselves, what does President Zuma lose for coming here and telling this committee, I didn't know anything about what was happening in Ghana? He tends to lose nothing. In the interest of holding the executive accountable, it is in the best interest of this parliament to agree to call whoever we think will help us arrive at a proper determination to be presented before the National Assembly. So, Chair, it's not as simple as you are trying to do. The other thing, honorable members, is that you must understand the implications of a multi-party democracy. Because what you are doing with the abuse of majority, you are going to collapse this fifth parliament. We'll completely withdraw from this parliament, not only the committee. We'll completely withdraw, because if there's going to be an abuse of majority and forcing through the throat of people unconstitutional things, then what is the point of participating in a parliament that has got no regard for the constitution? This is just the beginning. I'm saying to you, you might think you are just doing this in this committee, but you are pushing many people away. Remember what Honorable Manga said yesterday, that ordinarily he wouldn't be part of walkouts and pulling out of committees and taking the stand he's taking, including even having to agree that the EFF is correct. You are pushing away the people that ordinarily wouldn't have had a problem in democratic, robust engagement. It's not only him, but there are many others who feel that the ANC is abusing its majority. How many other people feel like that? So we are pleading with you that it's not just numbers. Numbers can be wrong sometimes. And in this instance, the numbers are wrong. So let us persuade one another in the interest of this country, in the interest of our democracy, in the protection of the constitution, and the integrity of this parliament. Let the executive be called to come and account, including any other person. And then the second point is that we need to agree, Chair. You see, when the deputy chief whip of the ANC speaks, I don't hear him. At least Honorable Mathole speaks very clearly, even though we don't agree with him, but there is a possibility of changing the remedial action of the public protector. He doesn't shy away from that. He said that yesterday. If there is a change of heart, there must be a clear resolution from now onwards that the remedial actions of the public protector are non-negotiable. They are a course of action. They are an order. And therefore, all of us, in whatever we do, we must seek to implement or take forward the remedial actions as ordered by the public protector. And we can then add other things if there is such a necessity. But as things stand now, remember what they're saying. And the deputy chief wants to disagree with that. Honorable Mathole said there are two strong contesting views on whether the remedial actions of the public protector are lying or not, or they are just mere recommendations. That's when we went back to the constitution to quote what the constitution says. How can a constitution prescribes very clearly that she can take remedial actions and that be reduced to a mere recommendation? That's where we are now. If we can't find each other on that, then it means we are participating in an illegal process which has got potential to change the remedial actions of the public protector. We can't do that. And those two contesting views, if there has been some kind of consultation between last night and now, and there is a change of heart, then we must be briefed. We are flexible. We must be briefed that public protectors' remedial actions are untouched. They are not going to be reviewed. They remain as they are. We can deal with the other issues. Thanks, Chair. We can even take and get advice from the advocate next to you.
The Honourable Cheka.
I think you were in order to give this House an opportunity to hear what were the two proposals from both sides. I didn't understand you to be suggesting that we must go and vote on those proposals immediately, because we need to understand that whatever we discuss and conclude in the House is not for ourselves. It's for the people of South Africa. The people are entitled to know how do we come into conclusions and whether or not those conclusions make sense. And therefore, we have to agree with the Honorable Melda and the Honorable Malema that we need an engagement before we take a decision one way or the other. But I think that as the African National Congress, we have been taught that we should not use numbers to impose our positions on anybody. We should use superior arguments. Numbers should be a last resort. The first resort is that we should seek consensus, because the decision that we take here, we want it to be a decision of the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. So from our side, we will seek to persuade you, yourselves, and we also expect you to persuade us. Let's do that, engage, and see what comes out of there. But I think in whatever engagement we have, let's put the people of South Africa first, because all of us represent sections, although we represent the majority section, but all of us here represent a certain section of the people of South Africa. And as the ANC, we respect all the people of South Africa, even those who did not vote for us. Thank you.
Honourable members, I'm going to allow discussion on the two proposals that's on the table. I think there's general agreement on that. Okay? No, honourable member, there is a list of speakers who have indicated that they want to participate, so we will allow them to do so. The honourable sir.
Chair, I'm grateful for Dr. Motshekga to indicate the willingness of the ANC to find a consensus position and to find a way forward that can accommodate Parliament and can accommodate what people of South Africa are looking towards. Chair, I don't want to rehash, unfortunately I wasn't here late last night, but I do want to just re-emphasize one or two aspects of the Constitution, because I think at the end of the day, this is the key aspect that we all spoke about, Mr. Malema, Mr. Mulder, and that if it is in any way seen that we are undermining the Public Protector's report, has severe consequences for our Constitution and for other Chapter 9 institutions, such as the Electoral Commission, the Auditors General, the SA Human Rights Commission. So I would really plead with the ANC to understand very carefully what we are engaged with. And I want to read in particular, and I haven't heard any legal arguments against what the Supreme Court of Appeal has already found in 2011. And Chair, if you'd allow me to just read from paragraph 5. The Constitution upon which the nation is founded is a grave and solemn promise to all its citizens. This is the Supreme Court of Appeal. It includes the promise of representative and accountable government functioning within the framework of pockets of independence that are provided by various independent institutions, one of which is the Office of the Public Protector. It is an important institution. It provides what will often be the last defense against bureaucratic oppression and against corruption and malfeasance in public office. It is capable of insidiously destroying the nation. If that institution falters or finds itself undermined, the nation loses an indispensable constitutional guarantee. Now, Chairperson, we in the opposition have argued that we believe that it is being undermined. And I would urge the ANC to carefully consider the way we are not that far apart between the two sides. We agree this whole process was a nightmare and that there were so many things that went wrong. But where we differ is at the last hurdle of the unanswered questions by the President. And surely there is a way that the ANC can call upon the President to answer those questions set both by the Public Protector and the SIU. And whilst we are urging for him to be called to the committee, would you not possibly consider asking the President to answer those questions in 3 days? If he was to answer those questions, surely
we would find each other then and come together and protect the Chapter 9 institution and itself the constitution at the end of the day. So, Chairperson, I'm grateful for Dr. Motshekga, but this is a critical moment in the history of our parliament. And so I would urge you, and there are a number of long-standing members of parliament here, that you consider what we are requesting and let us build to find a consensus before we take a final vote, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Motshekga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we agreed that we are not reopening the investigation. We agreed that we are not going for a review. We agreed that it's not whatever we want, it's in all this report. And also, we agreed that all these reports are important. Otherwise, we'd be just considering the report of the public protector. But we insisted because it was very important that you wanted all other reports so that you can consider all of them. Hence being here and considering all those reports because they are all important. But also multi-party democracy doesn't mean that the ANC must agree with what the joint opposition is saying. We're not apologetic for being a majority party. We work hard to win those votes. And the electorate out there was sure that they were giving us a mandate to represent them. But also, the ANC is all about consensus. It is about consensus. It is very considerate that let us engage. Let's find one another. Let's come to consensus. The issue of the vote, as Honorable Motshekga has said, is the last resort. You know, it's very few, in a few occasions that we go for a vote, but in most instances, we want to have consensus among members. And I think we cannot be told much about what multi-party democracy is, because it is this ANC that ensured that there is multi-party democracy. Otherwise, even in 1994, some of the parties wouldn't have seen the light of day. So I think what Chief Whip has put forward, it is exactly what you said yesterday. But I see that the caucus that the opposition had last night wants a review. And we agree that we are not to review. And I still state that all reports are important. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having all these reports. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honourable Members.
And one thing I just want to indicate, because some members continue to put their hands up, that the following names are on the list. The Honourable Singh, followed by the Honourable Savambu, followed by the Honourable Kubai, the Honourable Mulder, and the Honourable Drakude, and the Honourable Maimai. I'll add on as we go along, it's fine. Honourable Singh?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, firstly, I must, with respect, disagree with the last speaker, Honourable Singh, when she says that the opposition focused last night and agreed that they want a review. That is far from the truth. The records of yesterday's meeting and Hansada here would indicate that we have clearly said we are not here to review any of the reports. It's not within our right to do so. The public protector has made her point very, very clear, and the Constitution enjoins us not to interfere with the public protector report. So I just want to place that on record. Secondly, we recognize that every member here represents a party or parties. Dr. Mulder and I are representing 10 other parties in this particular committee, and we were chosen by those parties to represent them. And we think independently of each other, but we consult with the other parties, as we all did this morning and last night, with most of the other parties that we represent. But as Honourable Swart indicated, we're talking about so much of agreement. I mean, we agree no review, and I hope that we don't go back to the point. We agree that there's no review. We agree that certain officials must be brought to book. We agree that the processes must follow. We agree with the process against the architect. Where we can't find agreement and where we think our work is incomplete is on the status of the reports. We are saying that what the public protector has indicated in the report as remedial action must be followed upon. It's a recommendation that action has to be taken. And there are differing opinions on whether it is a recommendation or whether it's action that has to be taken. Honorable Mashaka conceded that last night. I feel that the work of this committee would be incomplete if we do not clarify that particular point. None of us here have the wisdom to clarify that. It would seem that it's only the Constitutional Court that can clarify that issue. So we are looking for clarification. The work of this committee is incomplete. And then we are feeling that we try and find each other, as Honorable Swat has indicated. Let's ask the President to respond to this question. There are unanswered questions. And in our view is that the report of the public protector seems to have been treated with contempt. The content of the report has just been wished away as if it did not exist. And we are focusing only on the SIU report. So let's try and find each other in this part, Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable Sharambu. Thank you very much, Chair. We are actually trying to save the Constitution and give advice to the ANC that don't venture into unconstitutional terrain. You know that there is no sober legal advice that you will get which will say that this committee can add recommendations and alter what the public protector has said are remedial actions. It will never work for you. It will never work for you, that approach and everything else. We know that you are building up on what was the response of the President to public protector, because your argument is exactly what the President said to public protector, that she's just a mere ombudsman. And her powers can be reviewed, can be contested by the executive, not by the court of law. So we're advising you, like, for free, that you are entering into the dangerous territory altogether. Don't go there, because also, it won't work for you, because it's for the first time that you are trying to contest the findings of the public protector. She found out against, she found out and prescribed remedial actions against the then general of the police, the commander general of the police, commissioner of the police, basically, and the state acted on those remedial actions. The chairperson of the Electoral Commission tried what you are trying to do now of contesting the contents and the remedial action prescribed by the public protector. She failed this one. She had to be removed there by the Constitutional Court and left in shame. It didn't even take time. The Constitutional Court didn't even take time. There is not a... They just said, out. We don't know how we are even coming here. So I'm advising you that and I was saying to the chair yesterday when we finished the meeting that try to check whoever the advocate, go look for 10 advocates and seek advice on this matter. They'll give you the same advice that the constitutional, the public protector's remedial actions are not for debate in this committee. They can be reviewed in a court of law. In terms of what happens. And I don't know what is the insistence on halting this process because you want to conveniently stick to an interpretation which is altogether problematic. You are disrupting this committee, like the ANC is disrupting this process by insisting on an unconstitutional framework. You know the interesting thing, Honorable Mashaka, about multiple democracy, which is one of the founding principles of the Constitution of South Africa, is that you can't wish it away. It's not the winner takes all situation here in South Africa. It doesn't work like that. Your rules are not the rules of this country. They are rules that govern this country. But not the mistake that Constitution was conceived in that tradition. So you must not come and sit and think that you will bully everyone because they have had a decline or they want 2%, which will decline further with time progresses. You can't work like that.
Mm.
And say, the ANC will have to admit that they must not venture into unconstitutional terrain because it will humiliate them and undermine the institutions of democracy. And we'll come and say to you that we did say that you want to be humiliated by this process, and you'll be hanging your heads in shame. The other time when there was an issue of whether we have access to classified or unclassified documents, we sought legal advice. Whichever way, let's get legal advice. We are content advisors. Two there, the one to you, the chair. Can we get a sense of what are they saying in terms of this issue of interpreting the law on the side of the is conveniently for your own political narrow battles and on our side for correct purposes of protecting this democracy? Can we get a view from the legal advisors in terms of our procedure?
Sure. Honorable Shabambu, the content advisors and researchers are not legal advisors. They have a specific function to fulfill. The only legal advisor...
But Chair, we stopped legal advice yesterday. Why can't you do it yesterday? No. There's a lawyer next to you who gave an advice.
No, I just can't give you that advice. I've never sought legal advice from a content advisor or researcher. It's dangerous. The only legal advisor that is assisting the committee is Edward Venara.
Can he give us legal advice?
Thing next door. You want to respond to that, Mr. Venara? Edward Venara says he's not in a position to respond now. He will go back and he will consider the request, and then he will be in a position. He has not developed an opinion around it. Okay. The next speaker is the Honourable Kubani.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think my first point is on the issue that has been ventured into, and I think it's a political discussion around the multi-party democracy. And unfortunately, or it's some way that some pretend to have amnesia and forget that. See, during election time, the people were calling for change of the electoral system. The DA, for example. That wouldn't have resulted in a multi-party democracy. It wouldn't. No, it wouldn't have. That's what I'm saying. This is a political discussion. But if you are to look at what has been called on, it is the ANC that insisted that the current system of PR ensures that there's multi-party representatives in parliament. Because if I am to send his Kansani, you might end up with one party. If constituencies we go across, there's a possibility of one party winning because you cannot guarantee multi-party representation. Hence, the ANC insisted on the current electoral system to say it needs to continue because it is enshrined in the constitution. It is supported. The second issue in terms of the constitution is the minority views. That are very important, but it does not supersede the majority views. Both sides, I know Honorable Minister will always argue about this, when I was deputy chief with that time. Both sides have responsibilities and they have rights. What tends to happen, Chairperson, is that minority parties, as reflected by the constitution, because in the constitution you don't have what is called opposition, we have minority parties. Minority parties, as reflected by the constitution, tend to want to push the majority party to feel guilty that they are majority party, and therefore they have been given a mandate to govern. That can't be correct. We are equally saying it is important for the minority parties to have a view, but equally so, it is important for the majority party to have a view. And to be listened, not only the opposition party that must be given a hearing, it's also the majority party that must be given a hearing. And I think if moved from that premise, House Chairperson would be able to find itself. And again, I come to the second issue, Chairperson. Yesterday, I raised to my colleagues that where I'm sitting, I'm not confident that when we call people here, we will not end up reviewing the process. And our stand is we are not here to review the PP's report, for example. We are not here to review the SIU report or any other report that is in front of us. Now, Chairperson, why I'm reading this, go to page 345 of the CP's report. And I think you look at the third paragraph. The public protector, this is the response by the president. The public protector is aware that I have made repeated requests to be furnished with copies of documents which are the basis for certain arguments and allegations in order that I may better understand the context and the importance of such. These requests have been consistently denied under the blanket approach of protecting the identity of the complainant witnesses, notwithstanding that fact that some of these persons are known to me, other government officials, other still political leaders, and off-quoted academics. So, and I'm saying this because if you look at this paragraph, there are outstanding matters. And I said to members here, if you are to call the president here, and the starting point to say this information has been not been provided, and I'm saying that there are questions that are not answered, you've got to read it all along. The issue here is that questions were not answered, the response that were requested to guide what are the basis of asking this question were not provided. Are we going to be able to provide those basis? If a document comes and says this is where we start, where we end as the president of the republic, what do we do as a committee if information is in front of us that contradicts the report that we have in front of us? We do not have the powers to change this report. And this is what I said even yesterday. And members are not convinced me that we would not venture into amending this report. Now, Chairperson, I come to the issue of remedial action by the public protector. There are different legal views even in the public domain. I think Honorable Singh yesterday reflected that. This matter has not been tested in the court of law. Honorable Swartz reflected on the Million Marion case. It did not venture into this area of remedial action. No court in the sense has ever pronounced on this matter. So it can't be correct that we are pushed to say, no, we are doing something. It has not been tested. It has not been tested. And because as well, you look at various opinions out there, both legal opinions, people who are legal, in the legal profession, people who are academics, putting it out there, different opinions in terms of what does this mean. Remedial action means that these actions cannot be corrected, they are therefore enforced, they must be implemented as they are, they shouldn't, and others should say, no, this is recommendation. And let me just remind honorable members, when the report of the PP came, as reflected on with regards to the current deputy minister, the president, and former minister, not all those recommendations, by the way, were implemented. Members must go and check. Not all of them. Why are you didn't question them? We never questioned just parties. Because it suited us at that time, because there was a politician who was going down, we were comfortable with it. We never went to look at other recommendations that left there. It suited us. We could run with headlines that the Hitler is gone. We could run with headlines that when Mashangu is gone. We never went to the debate. And this is what I've appealed to the committee even yesterday. Let's not do piecemeal job in targeting an individual. Let's do our responsibility. Let's do our constitutional responsibility and obligation in a very responsible way and in a constitutional manner. We have a duty to the South Africans to make sure that all the money that has been lost is accounted for. We have a duty to South Africans to make sure that anyone who was involved in this process is accountable. And you can't start at the tail end, you need to start with the process all along. So chasing one man and leading the process is not assisting us. So you've got to be able to be focused. Again, the other issue, Chair, I appealed yesterday. You see, when we get into discussions and debates, threats do not help. This is a vomit of parliament. If somebody wants to threaten, if they think they have a right, Constitution of South Africa gives everybody their right, they are protected. They can go and act. But don't come to our committees and threaten us. We are not here to be subjected to threats. We are not here to be subjected to be. Members have rights. And equally ourselves, we have rights. It will not assist this committee. If somebody makes threats, then I can't make counter threats. It's not going to assist anyone. We're not here for that. South Africans expect better from us as members. And therefore, we've got to end the part. The last part I want to speak to Chairperson. The issue of the committee having to talk to the assembly. That's within the rules. That's within the mandate that we established. That once we complete our work, any actual committee, any committee of parliament must report to the National Assembly, because this committee is acting on behalf of the National Assembly. Let's not assume the powers we do not have. The only platform that this institution can pronounce is the National Assembly. So we are doing the work on behalf of the National Assembly. When we are done here, the representation that we are here, we must go back and report to the National Assembly, to all those members that are there, that we are doing the work on their behalf, so that they can take a decision. It's not us who must take the final decision. It's the National Assembly. So members must go and look at the Constitution, they must look at the rules, and understand what parameters we operate on, what powers we have as this committee, and what is our role and responsibility. Thank you very much.
Honourable Mulder.
Yes, Chairperson. I want to start off by referring to what the Honourable Swart said. I think we must all take that rather seriously. I think it's a very sincere and genuine appeal to say this: we are dealing with very, very serious matters and that we should take it rather seriously. And he made an appeal that we should try to find each other in terms of consensus. The Honourable Maseko then referred to all the reports and declared, as he said, that all the reports are important. Chairperson, to you, I want to know from the Honourable Maseko, do you accept the actions taken by the Special Investigative Unit in their report? Do you have any problems with those recommendations or those actions to be taken? No. No, I've not heard one word from anyone from that side having one single problem with all those actions being taken by the SIG report. Why not? Because none of them, do you have problems with the SIG as well? You don't agree with that? Okay. You never said that in any case, but...
No, we'll give you honorable minutes opportunity.
My argument is, if you have problems with the public protector's actions, why? Because they deal with the present. The SIG actions, none of them deal with the president. Why? Because their mandate was different in terms of their proclamation. The Honourable Sibabu referred to the question of legal advice. I've been on many committees where it was the most natural thing to say, we've got a problem, a legal problem here. We don't want to venture into unconstitutional things or do things wrong. Let's get expert legal advice. However, this time around, it seems that the ruling party doesn't feel that that's necessary. We don't want legal advice. We really don't need that. All the requests for legal advice has come from the opposition side. We don't want legal advice. I think we should get some legal advice. The Honourable Bias suggested that we go to the Constitution. So let's go to the Constitution. Because she made the point in terms of majority views and minority views. But you know what? Both majority views and minority views are less important than what the Constitution says. The Constitution comes first. Provisions in the Constitution is above majority views. It's above minority views. The values in the Constitution, above both of those views. But let's get to the Constitution, because you see, Chairperson, the Honourable Kubai and the Honourable Lakude both argue the following. We do not want to hear any evidence from anyone. We don't want to hear anything. We don't need that. Why? Because if we listen to any evidence, we will be reviewing the reports. Don't want to go into that. But when it comes to the most crucial aspect of a public protective report, where the conclusion comes to say, I therefore, in terms of the Constitution, say the following remedial action should be taken. Is that part of the report or not? I think it's part of the report. It's the crucial crux of matter. Then suddenly, the ruling party has a problem with that part of the report. You can't have it both ways. Either you accept the report and you say you don't want to touch anything and change anything, then that would include also the actions to be taken. You don't want to do that. Nothing else should be included, but you don't want to accept this. You can't do it that way. So Albert Nakule basically indicated the 5 steps in terms of the ruling party's proposal. It was Dr. Motsekga who gave content to what it means. And he quite clearly said, and that's the essence, and that stands exactly opposed to what we are proposing. Now what the party is, the legal action stated by the public protector is not up for discussion. In law, you can discuss it, we can discuss it, but I can assure you in law it's not to be discussed. It's a fact. But Dr. Motsekga gave an interpretation in terms of that to say, well, these are recommendations. Now my question. Why would anybody post the process have to act with any recommendation made by the public protector? Why? Why would it be necessary? No recommendations. Listen to them. We ignore them if we want. Public protector is very interesting. You've got a nice little offer there. Go on with your work. But if it doesn't suit us, we will just ignore you. Why? Because in this instance, he deals with the president. Now, let's look at the Constitution. Section 181.3 of the Constitution. It says, and he deals with these institutions, and our argument from the ruling party is that these are only there to support democracy, and it starts with the public protector, but 181.3 says, other organs of state. That includes parliament, it includes this committee, other organs of state. It includes the president, he's the head of state. And then it says what they should do for legislative and other measures. What must they do? They must assist and protect these institutions to ensure independence, impartiality, dignity, and effectiveness of these institutions. Are we doing that? If we accept your proposal, are we making the public protector's work more effective or less effective? Are we making her work more effective when we say, well, it's interesting what you said, but you know, those are the recommendations. You don't have to act on those. The committee will make its own recommendations. We will go through the reports, we will engage the reports, and we will make our own recommendations. I'm saying to you that both the President and Parliament and your majority will be in breach of the Constitution in terms of Section 181.3. We are obstructing the work of the public protector. Let's get to the different proposals and the different institutions then in Chapter 9, because Dr. Motsekga argues this thing that says she can take remedial action, well, that's recommendations. No. The writers of the Constitution knew what they were doing, and some of us were present there. Section 182.1c of the Constitution, when it deals with the public protector, says the public protector has the power to do what? To take appropriate remedial action. Mr. Malema yesterday correctly argued, you don't take recommendations. But the Constitution says to take remedial action. She did exactly that yesterday. When you come to the South African Human Rights Commission in the same chapter, what are their powers? Section 184.2b, they have the power to do what? To take steps to secure appropriate redress. Not to recommend, not to take remedial action. They have a different power. The Constitution says explicitly what it means. They are there to take steps to secure appropriate redress. We come to Section 185, the Commission. I was quite involved in that. Or that long name, the rights of religious, linguistic, and cultural communities. What are their powers? Well, 185.4c, they have the right to recommend. So the Office of the Constitution was aware of the fact that a word exists to recommend. They did not use that word when they spoke about the public protector or the Human Rights Commission. That committee can recommend. But you're arguing these are recommendations. Now, Chairperson, I want to ask my colleagues in the ruling party to understand the implications when we're going down this route. We argued about you've got this party line. Almost like who they argued, she said, yes, we are very proud of that. We are members of the Tuli House, we get our instructions, etc. And she says, yes. Yes. My concern is this. It seems that the leading intellectual light at the moment is the Secretary General in that party. And I want to refer you to what he said a few days ago. He's quoted in the Sunday Independent on the 14th of September where he says the following. And he referred to the opposition when he brought the minister no confidence in the speaker. He said the following. This is an attempt to silence the African majority in line with a fallacious theory that our democracy is not about numbers, but values. It's about numbers, it's not about values. That informs the kind of arguments that you have been putting forward in this process. Not the majority view, not the minority view, the constitutional view. Section 1. The most sacred provision in the Constitution. Chapter 1. Entrenched, unlike any other provision in the Constitution. It's entrenched in terms of Section 74, 1 A and B. The only provision entrenched with a 75% majority. And what does it say? The Republic of South Africa is found on the following values. Values. And then it goes on to say which values. And it says, universal suffrage, national common voters' role, regular elections, but then, a multi-party system of democratic government, which means numbers can't do what they want, to do what? To ensure accountability, responsiveness, answer the questions, and openness. Accountability, responsiveness, and openness. I argue, dear person, that the process that the ruling party would be proposing here draws a line through all of this. We don't want to hear in terms of what happened. We are not interested in accountability. We are not interested in all of those things. None of the parties on the side ever argued that we want to review the public protector's report. We don't want to do that. But the point of departure is what the Constitution says. Step one. The remedial action described by the public protector should be implemented. It's our task in terms of oversight of the executive. If it is not being done, to recommend and say it needs to be done as soon as possible. That's the point of departure. And there are other things. What does the value of responsiveness mean if the President of the Republic just decides, I am above the law. I will not answer questions. I'll just ignore them. When this process is finished, I will be on a portfolio committee and we will get anybody there to do oversight. I will say to them, you don't have to answer those questions. Ignore the chairperson. You don't have to. Why should you answer questions? Because the example has been set by the President. You can just ignore them and you want to protect that. There comes a time to do the right thing. You can think today that you are doing the right thing to protect the President under all circumstances. You will think with the President that the Constitution will prevail. Thank you.
The next speaker is the Honourable Lakule.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me start by reminding my fellow colleagues that we are a committee of Parliament. Our role is to ensure that we consider these reports, apply our mind on it, and as a committee make our own recommendations, of which they might go beyond what is recommended in either of these reports. I repeat that. When it comes to multi-party democracy, we are a multi-party parliament, and that does not mean that will agree at all times. That's why we have the multi-party parliament. We are here representing different parties because we have different ideological understanding. That is why. Doesn't mean that we'll agree on everything. Then, does this question matter? If you say, let's call people to come here, and you are saying that you agree and understand that we are not reviewing the report, then those people whom you say they must come here, come and challenge the very same report, that they don't agree with the findings, then what? Why not doing? Are we not going to be reviewing the report? My question is, yes, we'll be reviewing the report by doing so. Because they come here and challenge everything that is on the report. Because it doesn't mean that if the PP make recommendation on remedial action, people are going to agree with it. On SIU reports, people are going to agree with it. They come here and challenge it to say that, no, this is not at all. And Honorable Kupai, referred us to 345. What are we saying on what the President is saying there? What are we saying about this? No, because we are so obsessed with the President, we don't want to apply our mind on the report. We just want to see him here. We don't even consider what is here. We pick and choose what we want to believe. So this is what we're sitting here. And another question. If we say the public protector's report or remedial action or recommendations are final, then what are we doing here as the Committee of Parliament? Why are we even having the report before us? Why are we having the report before us? Because my understanding is her report is final. It means we have nothing to say as Parliament. Then this report should have gone somewhere where it must be implemented. That's how we understand it. And also, I know what is in the Constitution regarding the powers of the public protector. But what I'm trying to say is, if you say the report, the remedial actions are binding and everything in this report are binding, then why are we considering it? Why are we discussing it? It should have gone somewhere for implementation, because according to your interpretation of the report, it means that this report is like a court ruling or court judgment, which must not be questioned, it just be implemented. So I have those questions in my mind. Why are we here? Why are we here? As for what the SG said in the media or wherever you met him and he told you this or wherever you read it, we are not his mouthpiece. He have his own rights to say whatever he wants to say at his own time and place. So we can't tell him what to say and what not to say. The same applies to us. He didn't tell us what to say here and what not to say. And Chairperson, come back home. It's not too late. And Chairperson, we cannot use this platform as honorable members to settle our personal scores. Our role is not to target individuals. Our role is to target the system that collapsed during this security upgrade at Ngali. So if we come here with our premeditated outcome, then it will cloud our judgment. We'll not do justice to this. Our standing point as the ANC is that everybody who is found guilty of wrongdoing must be brought to book. Everybody. I still maintain what was said yesterday, that everyone who's found guilty of wrongdoing must be brought to book. I also have a taxpayer, and I even raised a question yesterday that if you insist, you say that the president must pay. And even some of the members here, Honorable Malima, said that he knows
that the money went into Makanya's account and that money was withdrawn to from that account and given to the president. If he has proof of that, he can go to court with that proof. We want that proof because it will make our job easy. That is what he said. And I agree with Honorable Kubai that we cannot sit here as a committee of parliament and be threatened by court. We can't. From day one in this committee, we are being threatened that they take us to court. The rules of parliament allow us to do the job. So if people think, want to go to court, they can go to court. But we cannot be threatened. And also, Honorable Mulder, the Honorable Member, you know, Honorable Mulder, it shocked me yesterday. I respect you as a veteran of this parliament, as someone who knows the rules, someone who upholds the constitution, someone who respects himself. That is why we respect you. We differ in our ideological discussions and debates, but you are a well-respected member. But you shocked me yesterday when you said that the behavior of the EFF in the House is acceptable. That is what you said. As an honorable member, you cannot raise your frustration by disrupting the proceedings of the House. So you reassured me yesterday when you said that. And my take, you know, that is what you said.
Honorable members, that is a matter for a different forum, really. No, honorable members, let's concentrate on the work and let's not drift away from what is in front of us. Because the issue, and that is my ruling in this regard, of what happened in the House is not under discussion here. It is for another forum. And let's speak of that, please.
So I was saying, Chairperson, I was shocked by what the Honorable Mulder said yesterday. I'm really shocked. Whenever you have your frustrations, find a way to raise them, not in a disruptive manner. I think for now I'll
pause
there. Thank you.
Honorable Maimane? No, there is a list. Let me just speak to the honorable members. We'll get to you. It's the honorable Maimane, followed by the honorable Malema. Then we have the honorable Mateka, the honorable Gandhi, the honorable Shavambu, and then the honorable Kubai. Those are the and the honorable Swat now is also indicated. And the honorable B.
Thanks, Chairperson. I don't want to have a rehash of last night, because certainly we can keep going all afternoon. I just want to address a few things. The first one is there's a sensitivity about being threatened. Everyone is raising, we're being threatened. My fear is simply this, is that perhaps what you've lost track of is the fact that you are threatening the Constitution. And if you are threatening the Constitution, we can't sit back and say, well, fine, let's just proceed along the same line. It can't be so. When you take action steps, that's why what Honorable Mulder is saying in its sensitivity is the magnitude of the decision you are about to make. So it's not some political game. It's about securing the future of generations. Because if your kids can't ever be guaranteed of a constitution that would work in defense of their rights, we have nothing to bequeath to future generations, and it will happen in this state parliament. We simply can't accept that. So don't be sensitized and be like we are being threatened. We are not. The constitution is what we're trying to talk about here, which is a point of balance. Honorable Kubai, I don't want to rehash this conversation about multi-party democracy because it's not the discussion, but I urge you, when we made the proposal around constitutionally based electoral system that accommodates PR, we considered both views and made the proposal. You can't arrive here and make grand statements which are inaccurate. That can't be so. But I want to come back to the system that we've got at this point. It's Parliament who appoints the President. We give the President accountability. We give the President a mandate. It's the chain of command. Now, in this instance, we are failing to then hold him accountable. So you hire somebody to say, go head up the executive, and then a report comes to say that very person you have elected to do a job has failed. Now you are saying, no, let's find another report that his executive arm has then tabled to contradict our very role. That's hypocritical. You can't give a mandate to someone, and then when they fail in doing their job, you say, okay, give us another report from your end that contradicts that failure, so that we can come back to Parliament and say, we are satisfied that that is so. We simply can't. The President has made a pronouncement, and I don't think we should dilly-dally about the issue. He says, the public protector is an ombudsman. That's what he says. This committee cannot rule in whether it agrees with the President or not. And we are saying, we disagree with the President. Now, we don't just simply say we disagree with the President because we are obsessed about the President. No, we are not. We are gathered here today because the very tabling of this committee that consider the report of the President to the public protector's report. That's what brought this committee together. It didn't say consider the SIU report. It was not tabled here. It says consider the President's response. And part of the President's response is that it was late, it was insufficient, it is going away from the remedial action, and more than anything. Now, Dr. Mandela, I want to cite from the Mail and Guardian case. It says this. It says there's no dispute in this case that an investigation and report of the public protector is subject to review by a court. That's the ruling. Now, I'm appealing to this body. If President Zuma maintains his view and he will drive through the ANC structure, he's allowed to have that. But this committee isn't gathering to do the contradiction of that by reviewing it. This committee is saying, we accept the public protector, and if the President wants to challenge it, let him go to a court. Now, you ask me the question, why is it critical for the President to come and appear before this committee? For the exact point Honorable Kuba is making. She cites the pages that say the President then said it is unknown to him. Now, there are many instances where the President knew or did not know. Now, what is agreed in this committee is that none of us can know to which extent lesser or greater did the President know. I think the opposition would argue that he knew everything. As the ANC says, he only knew one person, Makanya, and that's it. Now, if that's what the President knows, that becomes a function that is not expressed in fact. It is subjective. Now, to clarify subjectivity, you must speak to the subject. And that's what we are asking. We are saying, please, Mr. President, clarify for us, what do you? Now, there's another sensitivity that's emerging. We are scared we might contradict. What's wrong with contradiction? Let people come contradict if that's what they want to do. But then, you are in the best position to make, you are in the best position to then say you draw your own conclusions. But you can't simply say, because we fear that people, of course people must come here and say they contradict that. That's fine. Our job isn't to agree with them. It's simply to say, well, what are your basis for contradiction? And so I'm anxious that this body is now starting to get into some new sensitivities. There are two processes that are being proposed here. I want to return us back to where we started. There's one route. The ANC says, let's consider the report. Now, I know not, English isn't necessarily my first language, but the word consider is starting to become a lot more ambiguous to me. Because it's becoming ambiguous because I think what we mean by consider is that let's have a retreat, have a discussion and leave. And then some members are saying let's make new recommendations, which heaven alone knows what those are. There are already remedial steps that are put forward. Now you want to add new. I don't know where those will be emerging from. That's my struggle. But if I allow the process as the ANC puts it, that means we are going to get together, read, make new recommendations. I don't know whether they'll contradict, conflict, add, or whatever to the current reports that are there. But regardless, what then happens then, the House of Parliament then has to rectify those where the majority also sits. So all in essence we'll be doing is presenting for Parliament a summary of our readings and perhaps at the ANC I just some new recommendations. Now I disagree with that. My understanding here is that if I consider the president's response, at least the first conclusion we've all drawn, nobody's contradicted that, is to say it was insufficient. Nobody has said that today and said the president has answered everything. What we are simply saying is that let's give him a chance. We are in fact doing you a favor. But he hasn't sufficient, he has responded. Give him another chance. But you refuse, if you take away that chance, then all I'm simply saying is that I'm left with a, I'll take what the public protector has said, and that be the conclusion. Public protector has pronounced on the matter, that's the conclusion. The job of this committee, the job of parliament, is to hold the executive to account, and in this instance, there's an executive principal who fails to account. So don't invite me to failing at my duty when I took oath. That was the duty that I wanted to do. There's a principal member who's failed, ask him to come and account. Now, the second point we all agree on is that there's no review. Therefore, the question must ask, what are the implementation steps that we are going to take? To me, it becomes quite clear. If I agree that there's no review, well, then the question beholds, what are the steps? And for me, the steps are quite clear in the public protector. That should be what the discussion is about. So we take the steps forward. We mustn't be going backwards. Then the third issue is obviously this issue of the legal opinion as to the standing. And I've already said that the president holds one view, which he has clearly communicated to the ANC, and I can accept that you must uphold that view. But with great respect, we disagree with that view. We think the SEA judgment is disagrees with that view, and we certainly don't hold it. So if in that case, either we get someone in the committee to come and clarify the point, in essence take a judgment on that point, or we are going to be stuck on that point. Because the SEA has the mandate to take the president's decision or view on the matter as the gospel. We are saying we want to take the constitution as the gospel. So, honorable members, I think those two viewpoints are actually quite crucial. And even as we said here today, I'm not convinced that there's been a different view that has added any respective new light from what we left on yesterday. There are two sticking points. One must be resolved by a constitutional expert who will sit down and say, I clearly, Advocate Venara, with great respect, isn't going to help us here. So we must find outside help. Then let us have them get their counsel and let's get on a go. But the second issue is, if we are not going to review, then let's ask the simple question, what are the implementation steps? And to get further clarity, let's ask for the president to be here. Because I'm certainly in a multi-party environment, Honorable Kubai. The majority cannot co-opt the minority either. You simply can't say, for me to not make you feel, in the name of saying I'm not making you feel guilty for being in the majority, and I suddenly agree with you on everything. In this point, there's a fundamental disagreement. There's a member of the executive who's saying X, we are saying Y. Now let's deal with that decision. Let's ask the executive member to kind of clarify that position so that the committee can move on. Otherwise, Chairperson, I fear that now what we are trying to do is to take the SIU report, make it supreme, and then fail at a job. Because then in that case, we are saying what the executive says and does then becomes supreme. It would be the same as saying, if the Minister of Defense made a decision to say, let's send the army into parliament, then we must accept that. Parliament is an independent arm of government, unless I'm confused. Therefore, we can't be co-opted by the executive. We should hold the executive to account. The final point I want to make, Honorable Chair, is that we talk about the SIU report that points in many ways to officers, department heads. Those are accountable to the executive. And they come to report here to Parliament as principal executives. I'm in some way less inclined that when we, if we agree to compile a list as to who must come here, that we must start drilling down on many other officials. And we've made that point. Otherwise the list is endless. Then we might as well say we are a para-SIU body, which we are not. Rather, what we should be saying is that as a member of the executive, a project undertook underneath them, what is the remedial action they are going to take? That's the job of this parliament. And the recommendation that we put before parliament must expressly say, having accepted the public protector's report,
having noted the recommendations that the public protector has done, here are crucial action steps that the president must take, and ultimately parliament must hold him to account for that. For we gave him a mandate, and what is not to be concluded, what is not to be confused, is that the president failed all of us. I think we must even debate that issue. It's that 240 million rand were spent on a personal home. He failed us. Now, to what extent has he failed us? If we allow him to fail us again by not even taking any remedial or corrective action, then in the famous English idiom, fool me once. I think in this case we'll be fooled twice. Yeah. That's what's going to be happen. Now, we can't allow that to happen. And I think that's what the invitation is. So, Shepherd, I would move that the sooner we can get either to that constitutional opinion, the second issue is that the sooner we can agree that, in fact, if we are not reviewing, then the recommendation to Parliament is that we study the public protector as a report. We agree that the public protector is a constitutional body. Therefore, here are the action steps. In fact, I might even be willing to go as far as saying the SIU must continue its work, because, of course, we want those who inflate the cost to equally so be arrested. But you can't, in support of the SIU, then simply say, well, the public protector is irrelevant. Because the irrelevance of the public protector is irrelevant for all of us. Then in that case, the Honorable Mulda said, none of us should ever take any oversight seriously, let alone the public protector. So I plead, Chair President, if we can draw this matter so that we can agree on what the way forward is. Otherwise, I thought I'd hear something fresh from the ruling party today, from the governing party. I haven't, unfortunately, and I'm not getting any closer to any other issues. So I'd rather move that we draw nearer to conclusion.
Honourable Malema.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think that there's a question here of people being threatened. And I know it comes more often when some of us are present in meetings because of our strong presence, you know. People just get threatened and all those type of things. So I understand where you come from, but don't worry, feel comfortable. We remain equals and colleagues, and therefore, oh, you're not threatened, the statement changes, okay. Now, the multi-party democracy means that we are not going to agree all the time. That's true. But multi-party democracy equal means that we must agree when it comes to constitution. It's not negotiable. We must all uphold the constitution, protect it, because once the constitution gets undermined, we're in trouble. There shouldn't be a disagreement when it comes to the constitution. We can disagree anyhow, ideologically, politically, and otherwise. But this is our bargain. If we all say we subscribe to this democracy, this is our bargain. We must live by it, we must respect it, we must protect it. So multi-party democracy never meant that we must disagree on the constitution. And therefore, Honorable Matole, if you were referring to one of the scholars at Vets called Mutende Mahango's article, that's a lost article. Because that's the heading alone is wrong. It says, the job of the public protector is to investigate, report, and suggest remedial action. He immediately contradicts 182C to take appropriate remedial action. So if he thought he was quoting the question, that academic, then you must tell him to take new courses or law, because he was not quoting the constitution. There's nowhere in the constitution where they say the public protector must suggest remedial action. So that argument of that scholar must be put aside. It deserves to be dumped in a dustbin and not be quoted here by anyone who takes himself serious, because it's misleading. Now, there is another thing that the deputy chief whip of the ANC asked. Then, why did we come here? If these reports, we must just take them as they are. The public protector helps. The ANC was very quick to release a statement yesterday about some of us having not read the report without even listening to us. I just spoke once. The ANC released a statement. For sure they were ready.
religious students, the Malama didn't read the report. That one input, they concluded I didn't read the report. But it looks like the report was not read by the deputy chief of the ACL. They would have to read the statement again about her. Because she doesn't know what these reports are here for. So let's help you. 11.1.4 in the Public Protector's Report, page 442. Report to National Assembly on his comments and actions on this report within 14 days. Actions. That's what she says. Here, President's report on his comments and actions on this report. So we are not here to review a remedial action. So Public Protector clarifies that. So why should we come here and say no if we can't come with a new recommendation dealing with those remedial actions, then what are we doing? It's wrong. We are here to action the remedial actions ordered by the Public Protector. And if we're not doing that, then we're engaged in another exercise which is unconstitutional. Let me tell you, there is no court. You can go anywhere. There is no court in this country which is going to agree with anything that suggests remedial actions of Public Protector cannot be reviewed by any other body except the courts of law. You can get any legal opinion you want to take on any matter. There is no court which is going to say the remedial actions by the Public Protector are just a mere recommendations. There is no such a court. We can guarantee you now. And because you are very good with delaying tactics, and that's what you wish for, that the matter be taken to court for an interpretation that a common cause, but for political reasons, we decide to ignore the reality and concentrate on wrong things. It is a common cause that Public Protector's remedial actions cannot be reviewed by anybody. Just imagine, a Public Protector was to take action, and Parliament can change her recommendations. So why do you go to her in the first place? They can just simply come here, and then we decide what we do with them. So I thought somebody thought she was presenting a very educated argument when you say, when you bring people here, you are going to make them challenge their report and all that. But you know, Auditor General makes a finding. Auditor General makes a finding. We still call people that Auditor General found against them to come and explain themselves. We don't care how they contradict the Auditor General, but the Auditor General's report stands. So from today, the education we're getting from the other side is that when a finding has been made, don't call people because they will contradict it. And what do you do when they contradict it? It's a constitutional crisis. That's the most illiterate argument I've ever had. Chapter 9 institutions make findings, all people hear. Even after the findings of the Chapter 9 institutions, we still call people and say to them, the Auditor General says in his findings, you have done 1, 2, 3, 4, and want you to do the following. We never said because the Auditor General has found against him. We don't have to call them because they will contradict him or him. So that argument doesn't hold water. And it's neither here nor there. So we don't think that there's any genuine argument coming from the other side except to do everything in your power to defend an individual. You know, if you're defending the ANC, perhaps will be sympathetic and want to listen because of his history of struggle against colonialism and apartheid. But individual, you do everything in your power to defend, not even the ANC, but an individual. And, you know, even reduce yourself
to a point where you even appear unreasonable and running out of breath because you are so desperate to defend an individual. To a point that you even say, no, the president didn't know, and so on and so on. Want to say something, but you don't know what to say, but you have to say something. That's why you end up saying so on and so on, in defense of an individual. I don't think that those who look up to you, the immediate and the distant ones, really are proud of you. Some of us are leading political parties, and we're not just additional members or just members, we're leaders in our own right, and we could use our time to do organizational work if there's nothing here serious to be done in this parliament. And when we say we're leaders, we're very serious. We led at a very early age. Some of us, our credentials speak to themselves. We're not parachuted individuals. We grew up in the struggle, and we learned, and we're still leading. So I want to make a firm proposal that we close the meeting, and we go and take a legal advice. Because the reality is that we are not going to agree. And we don't want you to use, and all of us have agreed, including the ruling party, that we don't want to use those things of voting. So the best option available is that we close the meeting, we go take a legal advice on whether the remedial actions of public protector can be reviewed or not. I don't think we need legal advice on the subpoena. We all agree that we can subpoena people here. But there is an argument from the ANC that from the look of things, they don't want to subpoena anyone here. That is going to be a serious point of disagreement, because we're going to be rendered useless if we can't subpoena the president here to come and answer the unanswered questions. So the best option, Chair, without having to repeat what we said last night and again today, let's get a legal opinion on the remedial action, and then we also agree that in terms of the rules, we are allowed to subpoena people, and we exercise exactly that. There is no argument here that says we will be breaking any law if we call the president to come here. And the president will not lose anything from coming to repeat, if he so wishes to repeat what he told the public protector. So I don't think there's going to be a genuine argument against the subpoena of people here. We are allowed by the rules of this parliament, and therefore we must exercise them. And if we fail to exercise them, we would have failed in executing and discharging of our responsibilities as members of Parliament. Chair, I want to join you in the order you called about the so-called disruption of Parliament. There is no such a conclusion anyway. And to make an inference to it is just being silly, and therefore it is unacceptable. So let that matter be dealt with at a forum which is assigned to deal with that matter. And we must not maneuver issues here. People must come straight. If they want us, they will find us. Thank you.
Honourable members, there's a list of members of the committee that still want to talk to this point, but may I request that we start responding to some of the proposals also that has been laid by members from the opposition, so that we can move to a point to decide what is the next step that we're going to embark on. It's quite clear, Honourable Maimane, that there has not been much movement in terms of both positions. Both positions have changed. We are still there where we were last night. And really, I want Honourable Members instead to restate what was stated yesterday, to start focusing now in responding to the different proposals that are on the table, and come up with arguments that can really take this meeting forward. What I'm going to do is, Honourable Members, in light of the proposals also that is there,
I do have the following speakers on my list: the Honourable Mcheka, the Honourable Dadi, the Honourable Jalambu, Honourable Kubai, Honourable Swart, Honourable Bietman, and the Honourable Lakude. And let us stop there instead of having another round of repeating what has been said before. You want to speak now? You are later on the list.
I think your suggestion was in order. Can you give us maybe a 5 to 10 minutes break and allow the ANC to caucus to look at the latest?
No. Let us give the members of the committee the opportunity now to respond. We'll get to that point, Honourable Gali. In fact, what I want to suggest is, Honourable Members, after the last contributor speaker in this meeting, that we will break for lunch. Right? We will be at that time on the program. And then I will also encourage the different parties who are here, the ANC and the opposition parties, to use the opportunity. If there's anything else that we would like to discuss with one another, to do so. Because we can't remain stuck on this point. Honourable Mcheka.
Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Maimane is talking about the supremacy of the public protector reports. I just want to remind him that the office of the public protector and not the report of the public protector is a creation of the Constitution. So the Constitution created the office of the public protector. It did not create the report of the public protector. And also that the office of the public protector was created to support and strengthen the constitutional democracy. It was not created to be the fourth arm of state. And therefore, the office of the public protector is not at the same level with the judiciary and parliament. And the public protector is not a judge. This parliament has been ordered by the Constitutional Court to amend certain laws, but the public protector does not have the same power to order this parliament to do or not to do something. Now, when we come to remedial actions, Honorable Maimane and Honorable Malema. I remember comrades because they add value to the work of the ANC. Honorable Maimane and Honorable Malema are simply saying remedial action by the public protector is sacrosanct, is non-negotiable. And of course, one is not surprised that they take the view, because they have already indicated that they don't understand the Constitution without legal advice from someone. Honorable members should know that you can bring 5, 10, 100 lawyers in one room. They are not necessarily going to arrive at the same conclusion. So if you say we must stop these proceedings and look for legal advice, from how many lawyers will we do it? Now, if we ask 10 lawyers and they disagree, we come back with those 10 legal opinions. What are we going to do with them? I think the primary responsibility to find a solution to matters before us lies with this organ of parliament. And I also want to say that, Honorable Elder, there is nothing we are doing that is offending the Constitution. We are actually exercising the powers and performing functions conferred on us by the Constitution. Similarly, the public protector produced a report as empowered by the Constitution and national legislation. So we as the African National Congress respect the powers of the powers and office of the public protector, but the
report of the public protector is not the product of the constitution. Only her office is the product of the constitution. So it cannot be correct under any circumstances to say that the public protector, if you challenge or you consider the public protector's report, it means you are violating the constitution. That's wrong. But also we need to bear in mind that Chapter 9 institutions, all of them, are independent. And that as Parliament, we have a duty to protect their independence, but that independence is not an island on its own. They are independent but accountable to Parliament for their actions. So it is not out of order, therefore, for this Parliament to look, to consider the reports of all Chapter 9 institutions. We also have to bear in mind that the public protector did well by referring her report to Parliament, because she knows that Parliament is the national forum for consideration of matters of public interest. And the issue of Uganda is a matter of national interest, a matter of public interest. We cannot accept a situation where anyone suggests that a matter of that national interest should come to Parliament for Parliament to rubber stamp that. We are not here to rubber stamp the public protector's report. We are here to consider it among other reports. And at the end of the deliberation, we will come to a determination ourselves, but we can't have a determination imposed on us from outside. And I think we also have to accept, Honorable Shibambo, that you see, when we interpret a law, the rule of interpretation says the maker of that law did not envisage absurd results. Now, to suggest that the maker of the Constitution envisaged that the public protector will have the same status as Parliament and the judiciary would be absurd, because the Constitution created only three arms of the state. The source of the power of the public protector comes from the Constitution as regulated by national legislation. And that legislation was made by Parliament. And you can't say Parliament made a law not knowing what it means, and that it must go and look for some legal advice somewhere on something that it did. We took a decision, we made a law, we know what that law means. We are not dependent on some lawyer from outside. Honorable Melda, I think Honorable Pierre said it in the clearest of terms, that there are commonalities between reports. And if all the reports are dealing with the same issues, we cannot say one report is better than another by virtue of the office that produced the report. We have got to look at the merits of what each report is saying. And looking at the merits of what reports are saying, we are not in a position to say that the report of the public protector should enjoy a higher status. There's no basis for that. Honorable Maimane, of course you have already pleaded guilty to not understanding the Constitution, and you are not able to move forward without a legal advice. But I can tell you that already here you have Honorable Swart, you have Honorable Diekman, you have myself, we are lawyers,
and Honorable Nelga himself, and we are not sure that one legal opinion from one individual can have a higher status than what we collectively here can come to. So give us an opportunity.
Honorable members, allow Honorable Macheka. I didn't interrupt you when you were busy speaking. Let's just allow the Honorable Macheka to continue.
Of course, we should be tolerant, and I will tolerate everybody, because my interest is to make sure that the people of South Africa understand what we are doing here, so that when we come to conclusions, they can respect those conclusions. But I want to, Chairperson, go to a conclusion by saying following things. Honorable Malema, I am not attaching or interpreting remedial action on the basis of what Professor Mpende Muhangu said. I think when that professor went to university, I was already a senior lecturer who produced judges, the senior counsel that I taught at UNISA over 10 years. So I'm not relying on him. I'm relying on my own knowledge of the law. I'm a doctor of laws. I was admitted as an attorney of the Supreme Court. I'm an advocate of the Supreme Court. So I'm able to make my own interpretations without relying on some professor. So if you want to reject what he says, reject it. But hear what I'm saying. You see, when we interpret a law, we also look at the parliamentary records and other relevant documents. We look at opinions of legal experts. We look at other court decisions. On the interpretation of what the public protector is, I think one of distinguished ALC scholar, Kada Asman, can assist us here. He said the following, and I quote, "An independent and impartial ombudsman established with expanded powers to investigate certain organs of state. Parliament used the name public protector, not ombudsman, because of the gender connotation concerning the term ombudsman." Now, I have already said that the framers of the Constitution envisaged a public protector who has the same status as the ombudsman. It's only a difference of the term, the name, not the content. If we use this to Professor Kada's interpretation and Professor DeForest's interpretation, you will find that the Honorable Malema said to us yesterday that the word make and take is not the same. It's not the same indeed, but I'll tell you that that distinction is not applicable in this case, because the public protector has the power to determine remedies and recommend those remedies to the appropriate institutions. So the report of the public protector before us has determined remedies and is recommending those remedies to us. That does not take out the authority of Parliament to consider those remedies and make its own determination. So we have the power and the jurisdiction to consider those remedies. The other thing is the Honorable Maimane quotes the court judgment in isolation. What he said about the SC shows that he has not read the judgment as a whole. When you want to understand any document, you must read the document as a whole, and the Honorable Maimane has not done that. Because in the words of the Supreme Court of Appeals, it says, while the functions of the public protector include those that are ordinarily associated with the ombudsman, they also go much longer. The public protector is not a passive adjudicator between citizens and the state, relying upon evidence that is placed before him or her before acting. His or her mandate is an investigatory one, requiring proaction in appropriate circumstances. Now, the only additional thing, power that the public protector has, is that he can be proactive, take the initiative, investigate at the reports that emerges from that investigation. Is open for consideration by us, and that's what we are doing now. We are considering a report and not rubber stamping a report.
Chairperson, I think you are so tolerant of us. I don't want to abuse that tolerance. I want to finish. I think, in short, Honorable Chairperson, as this Committee of Parliament, we have four reports between us. We have considered them, but there's no report that is higher in status than others. What we need to do is to look at the merits and demerits of the remedial actions of all of them, and come to our own independent position. We are not here to rubber stamp anything. We are the highest forum for the consideration of national issues, and we are not an equal of the public protector. I thank you very much.
Honorable Gadi.
No, Chairperson, this is traumatic. It's a torture, actually. But nonetheless, I think our colleagues, they should be reminded of the House resolution of the 19th of August, amongst which it refers to Rule 138. And Rule 138 says, because the resolution says that this committee shall perform its functions, amongst others, in consideration of its powers and duties in terms of Rule 138 of the Rules of Assembly. To summon any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation, or to summon any person to produce documents. The president failed to produce a bond to the public protector. This committee now is filled with the function to request the president to bring the bond before this committee. So why are our colleagues there refusing to accept that we should call the president to comply with Section 138A to produce the documents, the bonds? Why? Listen, I think we can speak here until we are blue. And apparently, yeah. No, I still are red. But we cannot rehash all that we said yesterday, and apparently we are at that point. And a firm proposal has been put here. Can we please adjourn and go for a legal advice? Our colleagues there are refusing that proposal. So what? They are refusing the president to come here and produce the bond papers and other questions, 15 questions, 18 questions. They are refusing that we get an independent legal advice. In fact, Dr. Mteka there is quoting a quack professor of medicine, Tenda Mahago. In fact, verbatim in all his submissions since yesterday. In fact, he's taking briefs from him. And we can't really be tortured by that views of that quack professor. I'll call the chairperson.
No, let me just remind honourable members, let us not reflect on individuals who are not part of the discussions here. They're not in a position to defend themselves. as far as being this or that. Honourable Shalambo, you still want to feel so good?
Thank you very much, Chair. Do you know the limitation with when you are talking and then you throw in the credentials, I've got a PhD on these, I was a senior lecturer, and I want these and that, is that you run the risk of either misrepresenting the qualifications or the science. And I think that Honourable Museka did excellent at that, of misrepresenting the qualifications and the stones that he puts in his pocket to make a point which he can't substantiate. No one has said that the Public Protector's report cannot be reviewed. But we are not the relevant institution to review the reports of the Public Protector. It can only be a court of law that does so. That is basic legal principle which as a doctor of law should be knowing. The person who has produced charges should be knowing nothing. It's the simple thing that they're supposed to know in terms of what happened. But also,
honourable members, you are now interjecting your own matter. That's not good.
But also, it looks like, well, the deputy chief does not know what is the mandate of this committee. He said to himself that we do not know what we are here for. I thought it was a note that I understood when it was said by the deputy chief because I didn't expect much, obviously. But then, now, when the doctor of law says the same thing that, no, we're not here to help up them, the public protector's report, which we're here to receive. We're not here to receive public protector's report. Page 442 of the public protector's report says that the president should report to the National Assembly on his comments and actions on the report within 14 days. And she gave a directive to the National Assembly that the president should report here. On the 19th of August, we took a resolution as the National Assembly, which was read by the chief whip of the ANC, that we are establishing an ad hoc committee to basically do three things. To consider the report of the president as directed by the public protector. That is what we are here for, this ad hoc committee's role. And make recommendations where applicable. We can't make recommendations on the decisions and the legal actions that have been prescribed by the public protector because it is not applicable. It's a constitutional matter that can only be reviewed by a court of law. We can make recommendations on other issues, not on the areas where the constitution has got supremacy. And then number three, it says that must exercise the powers as per Rule 138 of the Rules Book. And number one in that Rules Book is that we have the power to summon any person. It's not the last option. It says all the aspects there of what we can do, but number one in that Rule 18 is that the powers of the committee is that we can summon whoever we think can help the work of this committee to prepare a proper report and moving forward. And not saying that because this matter involves a president, we have unduly benefited from the construction of a private residence in Northern KZN, he should come and be held accountable because majority of the questions that he was asked by the public protector, by the special investigation unit, he has not responded to them. And we'll say that let us carry forward the work and the recommendations. Those recommendations, the legal actions that have been prescribed by the public protector. Now, the ANC opportunistically says that no, the public protector is not final, it's recommendations. That is a constitutional interpretation which is being brought in. And the way out of this is to seek legal advice. I honestly think, I do not know what is the parliamentary word of saying sickness, but it's like that way. People say that parliament can seek legal advice. It has that every day. Even on legislation that have been discussed in committees and have been endorsed in the National Assembly, National Council of Provinces. Before all bills are signed into law, they are taken to lawyers to check if they are inconsistent with the Constitution. Not who the doctor of law here. Who is part of the lawmaking process.
It's that is what Parliament does every day. That is why when caught next to you there's a lawyer who is advising, you're the devil, this is a legal advice.
Not from the doctor.
Not from the doctor. There is nothing sinister, there's nothing wrong with the committee seeking legal advice which will learn. And of course people have different opinions, but we're putting it to you that there is no sober legal mind. Except the one that confused who would come and give the interpretation which was given by the President of the Republic on what are the powers of public protector and which are reaction as the foot soldiers of the President. Because that is exactly what you're doing, a reaction and cheerleaders of the President in terms of what he has agreed are the basis of the public protector's report. So, and we are saving you the humiliation. Again, it's free advice. Let's get proper legal advice. Let the lawyers go and consult, whoever they'll consult. They'll write the legal advice, table it here, and then we'll be able to entertain it. And if there is a stalemate, we will, as interested parties, approach a court to get a common interpretation of what is the legal standing and basis of what the public protector has said. And you must be extremely careful, because once the instruction is given by court that the money must be paid back, it's going to even have far-reaching implications. It's going to have far much more reaching. We propose a modest, reasonable percentage of 90%. The court might say that actually the reasonable percentage is 100%, because that is what was stolen from the public purse. We are trying to advise you so that you can take the counter forward and then help done by people who have unfairly benefited from public funds and knowingly did so, because when they were cautioned during the course of that process, they did not heed their caution. They turned a blind eye because it was convenient for them. Let's seek legal advice. Parliament does that every day. It's not for the first time. We cannot throw weeds which are not going to help this process move forward. And we must not throw all sorts of things. We've got collaborators, all of us, but we're not going to be throwing them around every time we want to open our mouth and everything else. Let's make superiological arguments, and we listen to that, not to what people claim that they know. And it's reflected in the argument that they don't know what they're talking about. They're just being the drama jurors of an individual. Thank you very much.
See, honourable members, I said we exhaust this list. And I made appeal to all honourable members to talk to the two proposals. And we must stay away from repeating what has been said before. I'm going to give the last four speakers now the opportunity, and I hope you will be pointed in your intervention. The Honourable Kubai.
Thank you, Chairperson. First, I think we need to deal with the issue of the rules. Rule 138, members shouldn't read it where it suits them and leave out where it doesn't suit them. Because if you look at the rules and if we are to apply them in this manner that they are simply saying, it means we must receive petitions, representation or admission from interested persons or institutions. We must conduct public hearings. We must submit oral evidence on the petition, representation, submission and other matters before the determine its own process. So we must do all those things. That's what they are saying. Because they are, no.
Honourable members, give the honourable member an opportunity.
Oh.
All of you had a fair chance to state your point. Whether you disagree with it or not is something else.
Just listen. So when the rules and when the resolution refers to 138, and those who are experienced would understand that when a matter is said and a rule is reflected, it says, apply the rule where it's applicable, where it's necessary. And our argument is that someone, any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation or to produce documents, it's not necessary. That's what we are saying. So it shouldn't be that it's a must. It's not a must. The rules don't say that.
So that's what I'm appealing, that they must read the rules correctly and apply them correctly. Now, the issue that the president stole public money, therefore he shouldn't be, it should be embarrassing that he would be told by court. There is no report that says the president stole public money. No report. Not at all. There's a difference between things. What is
this? Look, let's assist the meeting and address the chairperson instead of responding to interjections, please.
So there is nowhere in any report that it says the president stole money from the public purse. So we should not come here and misrepresent the documents that we have in front of us. Neither. If an investigation, honorable member can go and start an investigation and produce evidence that the president stole money because we don't have it. The other issue, you see, Chairperson, let us never change their spot. But we are subjected to things up here. I mean, the same thing happened to Mama, a lady called to be speaking with each other. It's the same style. Every time it was said, by the way, when people were apologizing back to our president and the image that made them to say, but they are not in NC today, we are still subjected to that. They even changed our tone. I don't know whether I speak like that. But, and whether it's an issue that it's an illiterate element, behaving as if I'm uneducated. Once you start talking about qualifications, it's another issue. But I'm just saying, it doesn't change. The leopard never changes its spot. The same insults, I've appealed in yesterday that if you disagree with what I say, you disagree with what you're raising, don't insult us. And you will never stick to that law. The issue of selectivity. We are raising this thing, Chairperson, in terms of threats. We are not sensitive. It's caution. But we are in a committee of parliament. If members deem that this committee is not saving their people, and have already concluded that they want to approach the court, don't throw it here. Act on it. Because if you come here, come and argue your points so that you can engage on them. I am not in a position to argue and engage on when people want to go to court. Unfortunately, I'm like Dr. Mutseha, I did other qualifications, not legal. So, I will not legally be able to approach. Anyway, we are not even allowed to behave as if we are caught. We are not. So, it shouldn't be thrown to us. That's what, if we are not frightened, it's a caution. But this is not what I expected to do here. The issue, again, the person I raised on remedial action. You see, it's not about the opinions of legal gurus, but it's about the fact that the issue has not been tested in a court of law. No one can do it except the court. They want to reduce other people. Even the 16th of Charity Margaret and 34th reflected, why all of them argue on their support or against? All of them agree that this matter has not been tested by a court of law. All of them. None differs on that point. They go to support their argument for or against. So we shouldn't give an impression that it's one person in the legal field that disagrees with this matter or that says that this matter has not been tested in court. So, that's the issue here. That, and it can be that when one person feels that that viewpoint is not coming across, and then you say, no, my argument must be taken. It can be. All of us here have views. All of us here are expected to engage robustly. If we fail to convince each other, that's the nature of democracy. We are here to engage each other, find common ground. If we can't, we can't. That's the nature of democracy. It's the reality. So it can't be that because I do not agree with you and you start saying, no, your viewpoint must be superseding mine. And I can't do the same. You have your viewpoint. If you don't understand what I'm saying or you don't accept what I'm saying, you have the right to do so. If I don't understand and I don't accept what I'm saying, I have the right to do so. it's part of democracy of this country. And the same issue, that's why I spoke about being labeled and all that. You see, it might not be in a mischievous way that when somebody says we take our mandate and the point is like we can't think. We do have our headquarters as we have. But mandates are taken from there because it is the African National Congress that contests elections led by the Secretary General and the top six officials. We are deployees. While we come here and uphold the constitution. The issue here is that when you run and contest for elections, you put out, this is what we stand for. Who is the custodian to make sure that the manifesto of a party that has made that party to win elections is upheld and the deployees ensure that what has been promised to the citizens is achieved? The Secretary General. So to come and continue to argue that the Secretary General, he has a duty to make sure that members of the African National Congress do not stay away from the mandate and of the people as voted in the election, but secondly, they speak to the manifesto. That's the role of the Secretary General of the organization. So his contact and his constant communication with us is not out of line because he had to make sure that what is promised to the constituents is done. But secondly, and you see, that's the issue, nature of democracy, that when we stand here as members of the ANC, we ask points, and people can, but when I raise issues of, I've not been convinced, Chairperson, I continue to say it, that what becomes the role of the person that comes here? For example, let me get out of the president. Former Minister Jeff White. There's been articles that he contests what is here. He does not agree with the findings of the public project. He does not agree with what is reflected against him. Then we call him here. And he comes here to say, this is my evidence. What the public protector did not go and investigate. This is concrete evidence in front of me that I'm tabling before the committee. And none of the members have clearly come out to explain what do we do then if we are to reach that point. And this is my argument to present that I still don't agree that we should call anyone here. There are reports in front of us. They have issues of recommendation, all of them. Would have where we agree, would have where we don't agree with them. Would have to make observation as per the rules of the House and report to the House. Summoning people, I still maintain, is tantamount to calling of new evidence and starting investigation. But another issue. You see, the issue here is even when people reflect that we are protecting an individual, that's not true. That is absolutely not true because we have come out to look at it. And we said, where in the, and I've read the paragraph that speaks about what is expected to be done, even on the president and on the agents. So the issue here, you see, tolerance as well, Chairperson, is part of what is reflected in the constitution of the country, that when people, that's why I said people never change their spots, they remain who they are and we know them.
No, honorable members, let's not do this. Really, let's not do this. No, it's incorrect. No, honorable member, it's not correct.
It's the arrangement.
The honorable member will now start winding up this.
That's why I'm saying we'll know you by yours, but you have not changed. The issue here is that the person, there is nothing that says we must call anyone. We have the report in front of us. even a legal opinion is not going to resolve the issue that we want, because it is the court that can pronounce on remedial action. Only the court. Legal opinions can't, Chairperson. So we have a duty to conclude our work here. That matter is the territory of the Constitutional Court. No legal opinion will be able to solve that problem. Thank you very much, Chair. And I think I just appeal that members have tolerance. We listen to them, whether they speak something that we don't hear, we still listen. So they must do the same and listen.
Thank you, Honorable Kubai. The Honorable Swart. Let me also ask for the same levels of tolerance towards the Honorable Swart and others, the other two speakers that will follow. That is requested. It's only correct, Honorable Members, that we do give members a fair opportunity to be heard. So let's just be patient, even though we don't agree necessarily. Honorable Swart?
Say there are fundamental differences from a legal perspective on the remedial action of the Public Protector's Report. The suggestion is, as we've done many times in the past, is to get a senior counsel's legal opinion on that issue to give us guidance. I don't see anything wrong with that, and I fully endorse that. But secondly, if the ANC is not happy with that approach, we are awaiting a High Court judgment as we speak now in the matter in the Western Cape where Judge Ashton Sippers is dealing with the exact remedial action. And surely, that is something that we could also consider. The honourable members are saying there's no court has decided on it. Well, the court has given an indication in the Mail and Guardian case. And that is why it's useful to even also look at that in response to what the President said, where he said the public protector is not an omelet. There the court has already said that the powers of the public protector go much broader than an omelet. So, Chair, there is that possibility. Now, I don't know the time limit of this, because we know the time limit. We don't know when that judgment is going to come out, but at the very least, let's try and find that. Otherwise, we've reached an impasse as we sit down. The opposition is firmly of its view. It's been constitutionally argued time and time again that the remedial action of the public protector is a finding that can only be set aside by a court of review. Even the government at one stage wanted to approach the court on this very issue and for some reason does not go on review. So, Chairperson, I'm not going to labour the point. I'm not going to engage one-on-one. I can engage one-on-one with Dr. Mashevin's points. The one point about the office being separate to its reports, which I differ from. Obviously, the reports of the public protector must have the same sway. And there is a hierarchy and a status. There is not the same as other reports. But we are going over the same and same issues. And so I fully support the views by Mr. Malema, by Mr. Shabanga, and by Mr. Maimani that we need to come to some end of this matter. We can't come back after lunch and then just continue going around and around. But would the ANC not find, at least at this stage, agree to a legal opinion? I've been here 15 years. We've done it time and time again. We have differing approaches now. We are differing legally. Why not the senior counsel's opinion? They can appoint the senior counsel even if you want it. Let's get some time. And in the meantime, we might then also have that judgment might come out, which will assist us as well. This is, as I started out, I said this is a very serious issue. It is almost a Kairos moment for our constitution. And I would again implore the ANC just to let's find it, that otherwise we're going to reach an impasse right now. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Yes, Chair, I think the first point is, now, Chairperson, I think in the first instance, we as members of the committee and members of parliament can't abandon our role in terms of section 42.2 of the constitution, namely to scrutinize overseas executive action. And all the reports are for us are assisting us to ensure that we do exactly that. I mean, the part 11 hours and 15 minutes was spent on various topics and maybe just one chapter of all these reports. We as members of parliament have a duty to the people who have elected us to consider all those reports. And the most important thing is what steps should we do to evaluate it. And I think that's the problem currently on the impasse. decided yesterday that the cabinet memo of 2003 is really the gold standard to test the various steps in terms of the approvals of the Kandla, and then come to a consideration of to address the lacunas, to address the issues. It would not be productive at this stage, we believe, to single out one chapter or one or two pages and then make that the focus of the committee. We must go through that cabinet memorandum in detail, looking at all 10 steps, and we haven't done it yet. And we'll have to go through that 10 steps and see what was the process, what was the role of the various players, and then come up with recommendations regarding not only to the officials, but to all the role players who was involved in that. That is our role. In terms of the review, a review doesn't arise at this stage. The committee hasn't done any recommendations. The National Assembly hasn't yet made any firm recommendations. So the question of the review is at this stage, our opinion is not at play. We as members of Parliament must do our work. We must go through the reports one by one. We must look at the instruments that was used and evaluate that in that context. We can't source out now our role to do oversight and accountability to get a legal opinion. We must do the hard work, we must do the hard slog. And look at the reports, look at the best steps, what was the lacunas, and come up with the recommendations. And also then analyzing the different reports. That's our role. The chairperson, so from our perspective, that's where we stand.
On my mind, are you raising hands?
I am accepted because I find this.
What, remember, there's still another speaker.
No, I
said so. I'm giving you the opportunity just to say exactly why it is that you're raising the honorable Lakune.
What is clear to me, very apparent, is that the NC isn't going to agree to a single thing. They don't want a legal opinion. They don't want a constitutional review. They don't want anyone to appear here. They just want us to run a ritual. Well, if it's going to be a ritual, then I think they must sit together and do it. I respectfully, Chairperson, request that we exit this meeting. We simply cannot proceed on this level. I'm sorry, Chairperson. If we can't carry on at this level, other honourable members, no.
Members who want to leave the meeting are allowed to do so. Honourable Maimane, you've made your point. So those who want to leave the meeting are allowed.
We are not leaving the meeting here. We are no longer participating in this process of defending Jacob Zuma. We are not going to be part of those things.
Thank you, honourable members. Those who want to leave the meeting, you are allowed to. You can do so. Oh, honourable members, there was still another speaker that is left, the honourable Lakune.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think as the ANC, we are not media butterflies, so we are not playing to the media gallery just to sensationalize this issue. We believe that we are dealing with a serious matter here, and also that we are dealing with these reports, and what is expected of us is to continue with the work that is expected of us and come up with recommendations so that we can move forward on this matter. So, in this report, Chairperson, there are commonalities and where the report differs. So what we are going to do now, Chairperson, is to continue our work and come up with recommendations that is expected of us, recommend to the NA so that we can be able to finish what we have started, Chairperson. We know that as the ANC, we are not obsessed with anyone, and we know exactly that we are not paging anyone. We don't have any personal vendetta against anyone. We want justice to be done accordingly because of this looting and corruption that took place. I thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, I just want to, please, there's too much movement in this meeting now. There's a number of people moving in and out and crawling around. Can we just remember the meeting is still in session? And if you want to be outside, go outside. Just close the door as you leave so that we can just bring this meeting to some form of conclusion. May I just indicate that according to the rules of the National Assembly, that a committee will continue to function.
for such a time that there is a quorum in the meeting. There clearly is a quorum in the meeting, and we will proceed under the mandate of the National Assembly to do what we are supposed to do. It is the right of members of different political parties who are supposed to be part of the meeting to withdraw or not to be part of the proceedings if there is a wish. We cannot force anyone to be part of it, but we can also not deny the meeting while it operates not to continue with its business. So this ad hoc committee will continue with its business. I've listened to the proposal from the Honourable Tapude that we should start looking now at recommendations after spending 1.5 days considering all these different reports, and we will then be in a position, once the recommendations are placed in front of us, that we will be able to produce a draft report that will have to be formally adopted by the committee as it correlates, and that is a report that will go to the National Assembly. Then we have executed our duties in terms of the House resolution that was the four parties agreed upon in the National Assembly. I also want to emphasize that right at the point when the draft resolution was moved in the House, there were already very stark differences in terms of the position that the different political parties was going to take around the matter. Right? And that once again crystallized itself in the meeting. There was also an agreement at the time, and honorable members and members of the public in the media who are here must be reminded that the first meeting that was called to elect the chairperson of the committee could also not proceed, and we had to wait for another 9 days before the committee could eventually elect the chairperson because of these very clear positions that the political parties have taken. One would expect that in a constitutional democracy, that while different people and from political parties, of course, that's why members are from the different political parties, they carry different mandates, but Parliament is exactly the place where those different views must be put across. And that is the space that must be utilized. However, if any political party, any member of Parliament, or any member of the public feel that that space is not the correct space to exercise that mandate, then they are free to go and exercise it somewhere else. We cannot keep members of Parliament in a committee who clearly doesn't want to be part of it. The committee will now adjourn until next Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, where we will then start dealing with the recommendations emanating from all these different reports that's been considered, and we will work throughout the day so that we can try to finalize the discussions around that. The committee is now adjourned.